Join us as we cover many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons. Are you ready to get jacked up? Are you with us? Then listen on.
Author Lindsay G is here. How are you?
I am good. Is this what we're doing?
Yes. I don't know.
We are talking like this.
Harmony.
Hey there. How's it going?
Well, the world hasn't gone to Kingdom Come just yet, but.
Oh, it's going though. It's on its way.
It's on its way. So get ready for the rough haul there.
It's on its holly jolly way.
Oh man. Oh, so we're gonna just talk about just all kinds of just Christmas specials of popular shows and movies and just other specials that just hold a place in our heart. It can be sarcastic and be, you know, just like one episode of an otherwise serious show. It can be everything. And we just figured, you know, there's plenty of them that actually do a good job of making fun of how absurd and corporatized the holiday has become. There's ones that even just use that holiday to make fun of like old Rankin Bass stop motion animation. There's even others that basically the Thanksgiving or the Christmas episode is where the, you know, the characters that have a love-hate relationship or don't get along actually finally blend. And when all the laughing is done, it's like, hey, but the characters evolved. So it wasn't just a, you know, holiday. It was like any other episode, you know?
Yeah, good point. I'm going to be honest here. I feel like I've seen a lot of Christmas episodes of a lot of things. And most of them, for me, just kind of, they kind of blend into the background. I was thinking about this, and I was like, okay, so what are my favorite Christmas things? And I'm like, well, I can only really even think of a few and remember a few clearly. Because, like, around Christmas, just everything is Christmas, and it all kind of just smooshes together for me.
Let's rip off A Christmas Carol or It's a Wonderful Life for the billionth time.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, I don't want to see, you know, so-and-so begging and they're realizing what it's like to be a poor man. It's like, yeah, no, that's been done to death. Let's do something else. I'm going to be a little playful with these. I'm going to mention both Psych movies.
Oh, okay.
There's a bunch of Christmas episodes, but especially part two movie. I knew some didn't care for movie one, but I think everyone just about loved movie two because they were just literally just going to a bunch of Christmas like themed bars and everything. And it was just kind of showing how they had all these wishes and just showing how they've evolved in their relationships. It really worked to the comedy that way, I think. And then after a while, yes, then it blended in the background in favor of the main plot. It's like, is Lassie going to get better and all that? And I was like, that was cool. That was very neat. And it didn't, like, you heard some of the jingle bells, but you didn't hear, you know, it didn't burst into being a stupid musical for the billionth time. It actually was just using the setting and then going from there. And it's like, yeah, I would definitely rather this be played at Christmas as opposed to, you know, everything else for the billionth time.
That's really interesting. I've never watched any of the Psych franchise, but I know it's hugely popular.
Well, and it took a while because, like, I would see it when it was on, and then a few years back, I did go for the whole thing, and I'm like, yeah, these jokes are even funnier the second time. Oh, I haven't even seen some of these movies and shows they're making fun of, but I get it because I'm a movie buff, and I'm like, and that's funny, and just coming out of their mouths, it's gonna be funny. And just because it's a buddy show doesn't mean it's like, I mean, they're making fun of the buddy franchises in general as well, and they do a bunch of Halloween horror themed episodes that are great. They do all nice. Sorts of things, but I mean, the guest stars were great because they would sneak in jokes that were references to their career, even though they weren't playing that character. It was like, that's fun. Like, Ralph Macchio was on an episode, and they nice. Stuck in as many wax on, wax off jokes as they could. Right. And they had plenty of other people who were has been handsome people, and is like, everyone would just fawn over them the whole episode. I'm like, that's hysterical.
Nice. Yeah. That sounds like a good time. I should check that out.
I think it's all on Peacock now. I saw it all on Prime about 4 years ago, but oh, how times change.
So quickly these days. Right. I'm still like over here, like, what is Peacock? But they have all this amazing programming I keep hearing about.
It's Universal's slow foray to be Hulu, Netflix, and they haven't fully got it down, but most of the stuff you want to see there is free, but there's plenty of other stuff where you're like, I don't know. I don't want to pay for that just yet.
For real. It's like, I feel like I'm paying more now for all of the streaming services than I would have been paying if it had all just stayed on freaking cable.
Right. And I'll always have cable because there's going to be that rare time where someone wants to turn on the news or see a funny interview with a talk show host. But yeah, then there are other ones where it's like, I haven't even watched any cable, and I'm like the only one using the cable box now. I'm always setting stuff to record that I haven't seen or...
like an old person.
Turner Classic Movies, but yeah, it's like, yeah, everything else is like, yeah, I don't think anyone else really uses it much other than ESPN and CNN and all that shit, so yeah.
But, yeah, yeah, it's like, you can see everything streaming, but now you have to, like, figure out where the thing is streaming, how to get that thing, and whether or not it's worth it for you to pay, you know, like, $17 a month for, like, this one show that you want to watch.
One show, and to add insult to injury, like, then somehow we subscribed to CBS All Access back when it was Paramount Plus, and I was like, I don't know who pressed the button, but we just wasted 6 months worth.
Right. Yeah. And
no one watched it, and we should cancel now because all the good stuff doesn't come back for another year, so kill it. Come back later.
Yep.
It'll always be there.
The streaming cycle. Yeah.
Unfortunately, with this podcast, we just kind of just make... We're pretty crystal clear with each other. It's like, yeah, no, don't have time yet to watch that franchise. I will make time. We should do an episode like this or that because most people are free or familiar with this one and that one. Then we'll get to that one. And I'll always fess up to someone who's like, I know shit's worth about this, and I'm already catching up on three other shows for the next 5 months. So let's just set it to the side for now. And it's on the to-do list, I swear. And then there's everyone's like... And fortunately, I was also pretty crystal clear with everyone. I don't want to be doing the controversial topics, so let's avoid the superheroes and Star Wars circuits for now, and let's stick with the more, the different stay action safe. Sci-fi and horror franchises. Like, if we're going to do...
Oh, so wait, are we not going to talk about the Star Wars Christmas special then?
Oh, we must. Especially Empire Strikes Back. But I just mean in general, let's... If we're going to do an all franchise like rating, let's wait a while. Let's wait for it to dawn down and look in retrospect, you know?
Yeah,
and let's
do that's
let's do an smart. Amusing ranking and do other stuff like, oh, and by the way, all you hardcore fans are going to fucking hate this because you're not going to agree. You're a Star Wars fan. Star Wars fans love to argue. So it's like, yeah, like, let's wait a while with DC and Marvel shit and let's just stick with some of the other cult stuff and mix it in with some of the better known franchises also. But yeah, no, got to talk about the holiday special because boy, howdy, even anyone says whatever Star Wars movie is the worst is like, no, you haven't seen the holiday special.
You have clearly not taken
stop
the holiday
hating
special.
On that. Stop hating on the Ewok specials. Those are fun. This isn't.
No, it's not. That's the thing. So I was trying to, like, make my list of, you know, favorite Christmas specials. And so I had, like, the top and the bottom both open, and I'm like, got Star Wars, and I'm like, does it go at the top because it's the most memorable and just like the craziest? Or does it go at the bottom because it's terrible? It's
and yet so... everyone wants to see it. Everyone's always... Now you can't even go a Fright without saying, when is it getting the Blu-ray treatment? When is it going on Disney Plus? I'm sure Lucas took it to his grave saying, by the way, Kennedy, you're in charge of the Disney Star Wars platform. You will not, under any circumstances, resuscitate.
I wonder. I'm trying to remember where I saw it a few years back. It was on one of the streaming services, and I think it was not Disney.
I know Rift Tracks like offered a copy of it, and that was so weird. I'm like, how did they? I guess they knew they could somehow bypass it because it's like they were just starting out, and they knew no one wanted anything to do with it.
Maybe like yeah, they must have given like one time rights to somebody.
It has to be on YouTube.
Maybe it was on YouTube. That's probably what it was.
And I
was excited. I was like, oh my god, I didn't even know that there was a Star Wars Christmas special until a few years ago.
You did it? Oh, man.
I hadn't heard of it, so I was like psyched. Because often at like since they have over the past 10 years ish, they've made Star Wars a Christmas thing. There's always a new movie out around the holidays, right?
Always.
I and was now, like, oh, sweet, more Star Wars for my holiday season. And like, you know, 15 minutes in, I'm just like, what am I watching? Like, this is not even enjoyable and campy and cheesy.
Not even aimed at a certain audience.
Yeah. I don't know what time frame it was made during, but it was between the first and second.
Yeah.
So it was between the first and second films. They hadn't, I mean, the first film had done well, but it wasn't like the phenomenon.
And he didn't have time to put all his energy there, so yeah, he made the mistake of finding other just random broadcast people who just did every kind of live, you know, special or whatever at that time. So yeah, the film style wasn't there, and the actors were called back last minute. They were already kind of sick of working with George, you know, and so then it just got to where it's like it's remembered for all the wrong reasons. Just you know, Mark Hamill kind of being way more cheerful than he should, than it merits.
that's right.
Fisher singing, very, cringeworthy. Chewbacca having a family, and then, Han Solo randomly killing a guy.
What was the holiday that they were celebrating, the Wookiee holiday?
I think it was a Wookiee holiday, and... the Rift Tracks is so hysterical because, you know, Kevin Murphy, best known for playing Tom Servo and Bobo on Mr. Science Theater, he just jokes throughout all the Rift and all the Star Wars Rifts because, long story short, they're not big Star Wars fans. They're more Lord of the Rings, Star Trek, Twilight Zone people.
Yeah.
But even though they make fun of so many other far worse sci-fi films and overdone blockbusters, but they're always constantly saying, I should go on Wikipedia, the Star Wars Wiki, just to make sense of all of this. Oh, I don't think there's a page for any of this.
Oh my god, I wonder.
I want to look it up now.
On it's Life Day. That's what it's called.
The Life Day?
Life Day is...
Oh my god.
So Chewbacca is trying to get home to his family so that they can celebrate Life Day together, which makes this special firmly a holiday special, not a Christmas special, I suppose. Which I'm a huge fan of, you know.
They who are the other celebrities they had on there playing themselves and just talking to the viewer? All right, kids, let's sing a song about this, you know, some shit like that.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm scanning the Wikipedia here. So,
it's too painful to relive and remember, guys.
Seriously, I the whole thing just became this blur because there's this one scene where there's like these motion blurs, and you could tell that somebody in like the early 80s or late 70s was like, look at these new special effects that we have. We're just going to overuse them, and none of this makes sense. That's pretty much all I took away from it.
Well, that too, and it is so wild how so many people would watch it, and for many who were kids at the time, of that era, that for those who had TV or who just watched everything on the BoobTube at that time, that was their introduction to Boba Fett. It wasn't like most of us who saw Empire or Return of the Jedi. I'm like, they saw that cartoon that was randomly inserted in there, and I'm like...
Who is this dude? Oh my god. Yeah, so they also named Chewbacca's family. His father's name is Itchy. His wife names it Mala, which is fine, and his son's name is Lumpy.
Yes, Lumpy, and he's, oh my god, yeah, and he's like the one who makes the most noise and the weirdest name.
It's so, I mean, his father's name is Itchy, his son's name is Lumpy. I guess Chewy, they thought they were being funny because Chewy is a funny word, but it's a nickname, dude. Like, his name is not actually Chewy. Like, so then what are they thinking? Like, Lumpy is short for, like, Lumpaka.
And shame on the dog food company Chewy for not being endorsed by Star Wars. Missed opportunity there.
Would have been a I bet they tried. I bet
maybe they did, and George Lucas like, fuck you.
So let's see. I'm seeing there was a cooking scene where Mala tries to prepare a meal.
Oh my god.
by watching a cooking show from a four-armed alien named Chef Gormanda, who is played by Harvey Korman.
Oh my god, yes. Not Chef Bayorda. Chef Bayorda. I guess there's Italians. It makes sense if there's British and English people in the future. I guess there can be all these other Irish and Italian people.
It's Chef Gormanda. So I guess that's like kind of French, gourmand.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. Oh, and then there's a music video by Jefferson Starship. That's what I'm remembering. I'm pretty sure that's the one with all the crazy effects that was just like, okay, clearly everyone involved in making this was on a lot of drugs, and they're hoping that their audience will also be on a lot of drugs.
Right. Is the only way they got through it. They didn't care. So
I mean, that's how I get through the holidays. I don't know about everybody else.
I got my formula, and long story short, it's related to your book, and that makes me very happy. And I'm happy the rest of the day, and then
let's see, we've also got there's a video announced required viewing for all Imperial forces. And the video features Akmena, played by Bea Arthur.
Yes.
I did forget about that.
A veteran who, you know, had nothing to lose. And you know.
Wow, how did they talk her into that? I just...
She's used to doing all every other sitcom, and so I guess she figured, hey, yeah, sure, let's do a funny thing related to a movie. Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, she did have a good sense of humor about herself, so... Wow. But I wonder if she really understood, like, the magnitude of the shit show that she was walking into when she signed up for that.
To her, it was like the equivalent of, like, a phone bank, you know, call in, right. We'll do skits for you to raise relief for a disaster that's happened. You know?
Yeah, good point. Good point. I guess that's the thing. So I know that some folks have this, like, love of the holiday season as specifically a time for like cheesy Christmas specials and whatnot.
Oh
and
yeah, I just they grew up on it, so they.
I've never gotten into it myself. Like, I don't know, maybe my family just didn't do a whole lot of like Christmas specials or whatever.
By the time I was at least 12 or 14, I think we've been doing like 7 years worth of that. I think we were all burned out. We all wanted to do something else.
Anything.
So that's why I introduce. Normally we say Lethal Weapon, but that was last year's special. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go with Die Hard because we see it every year.
You can't go wrong.
I have even tried to talk myself, you know, my family out of it. Oh, can we do something different this time? And it hasn't gone well. I've tried to suggest Lethal Weapon and no one's been up to it. I tested out Gremlins 2, which I'll get to in a minute, and that did not go well with them. They were not
Aww.
Fans. I know. My mother got what it was going. She just can't get past the gross effects. My dad was like, oh, that was a great idea, even though he remembers finding stuff like that funny back in the day. And all my
Tastes
other pals.
Change.
All my other sci-fi horror pals were like, oh, man, your siblings are monsters. How can they hate this? So it got even funnier when... Yeah, I mean, Die Hard, but what's not to say? It's a very quotable movie. Everyone else who's seen it just kind of remembers it just, again, for the explosions and everything. I was like, well, here's the thing. It was marketed as the next, you know, Earthquake, Towering Inferno type movie. And then they mixed in a James Bond villain, you know, played to perfection. And, you know, I am still sad every time I see Alan Rickman fall off because I want him to succeed. I want, he's such a smart villain, and I want him to succeed. And I am a B movie guy, so of course I pick up every stupid shit fest that Bruce Willis stars in every 5 months. So I and it's often Ouch. It's often no different than his John McClane roles, let alone often a little Dog Day Afternoon, Heat, or Training Day like. So mm-hmm. those are all kind of the same formula, and it was a fun spin on the formula. But yeah, I mean, anytime anyone's ordering a pizza, I almost want to, holy fucking shit, lady, doesn't sound like I'm ordering a pizza here. I want to say that Die Hard line. I know, I can't. That's not good. That would not turn out well.
I didn't see till probably sometime in my 20s. Like,
it's fine.
My family was we don't do action movies in this house for whatever reason. I don't know, because I'm sure that my dad would have loved the hell out of Die Hard.
But for whatever reason, is like, oh no, everything.
Yeah, we were like a PBS family, you know. But so I remember, you know, like I knew the title Die Hard, but I didn't know it was a Christmas movie. I didn't know any of that, and I didn't know how quotable it was. I didn't know how fun it was. And I remember when I finally saw it, I was like, holy shit, this movie is amazing. And now it's not an every year at the holidays thing, but pretty close to it. Almost every year at the holidays I now watch. Quality entertainment.
Oh man, yes, phenomenal.
Well, okay, so
say what you will about the shitty sequels, this is, you know, one of a kind.
Yeah, and the interesting thing I actually just learned, I was watching the Movies That Made Us series, is that at the time that they filmed Die Hard, he, you know, Bruce Willis wasn't a well-known actor, he was like a daytime TV actor, and people didn't think that he could do it.
No.
Like, I think they had to change the poster in movie theaters, because when people saw him being billed as an action star, they laughed. They were not buying that it was going to work. And that blew me away, because, like, to me, Bruce Willis is the action movie guy.
That's his thing. And nowadays, there's so many people, it's like, they can be on a sitcom, and that's all you need. I mean, we're already seeing Awkwafina, Bob Odenkirk, and all these other guys starring horror or action movies, and we're like, go for it. We love you, so there's no way we're not going to show up. But yeah, it was a different market back then, and it kind of reminds you of how so many politicians keep bringing up these stuff that, you know, applied three decades ago. And same thing with the movie producers, they're bringing up formulas and they're like, why doesn't this work? I'm like, because it doesn't apply now.
Yeah.
Everything is all social media and word of mouth and do we like you or hate you. And the minute anyone hears some behind the scenes melodrama, your movie's already dead. People are just going to wait for the, you know, Redbox or HBO effect. They're not going to bother seeing it in the theater. It's going to be toast.
Yeah, well, especially now. I mean, theaters are a whole other thing these days.
Yeah, so. And if they hear that the movie sucked, they're not going to risk their life to go see a movie that sucks.
For real. You know what I would like to see? This just popped into my head, but I would love to see like an Avengers Christmas special. I feel now that, you know, the Avengers, the main Avengers franchise has happened, and now we're doing all the spinoffs, which is great. But I would love to see Thor, like, at Christmas. That would be a blast. I'm just putting it out there. Disney, get on it.
They're all shrunk to, like, the size of a mouse, and he has to, like, hammer all these ornaments in there. Meanwhile, everyone else is like, there you go. We got to retrieve all the inside one of these ornaments has all the stones that Thanos has or some shit. Yeah, you can do Lego Avengers special. There you go.
Yeah, I would watch the hell out of that. And because we've already established this baseline of, like, your Christmas special doesn't have to really make sense. Like, the bar that you have to get over is basically the Star Wars holiday special. If you can make your holiday special make more sense than that, you're in. You're fine. So you're good to go. So we don't have to bend over backwards, you know, coming up with, like, intricate plots and how it ties in together with the multiverse. Like, you just, you know, get as many of the main characters in there as you can, give them some kind of mission, and have, like, Miley Cyrus show up at some point and sing a song, and you're golden. That's all you need. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you see the Miley Cyrus Christmas special from a few years back?
I didn't. I saw the Bill Murray one that was kind of boring. And then there was another special he did on PBS and she showed up and sang. And it was.
Wait, it was. No, you're right. It was a very Murray Christmas. And she was on it. And I'm mixing them up in my mind.
She's on both. Jeez. Okay.
No, I don't think it was a Miley Cyrus Christmas special. I think I'm thinking of the Bill Murray.
No, it's all good.
That she was in. I love Miley Cyrus.
No, so that's fine. She's got a good voice. Away from that behavior that everyone, you know.
Oh hell no! I am fully team Miley. I think she should do whatever the hell she wants, and people can get mad about it if they want. But I love watching her live her best life, very publicly.
Good.
That's my take.
It's a party in the Christmas AA.
But yeah, the Bill Murray special. Okay, so it was a very Murray Christmas. Now that I'm putting these pieces together, there was
way better than Michael Cyrus Bolton song. One.
Oh, poor Michael Bolton.
I have nothing wrong with his music. I just think that Office Space is so hysterical because it kind of works against him. Michael Bolton, yeah. I fucking hate that.
I used to like love Michael Bolton when I was very young and I hadn't really like formed my own musical taste yet, and he was just all over the radio at that time, and I was just loved him. And then he kind of disappeared, and when he came back, I don't know how long ago that was, probably a decade or so ago, but he came back and he did a song with I can't remember their name.
It was Lonely Island or something.
Yeah, Lonely Island. About like where he was
out of nowhere.
Where he was obsessed with Jack Sparrow, and that song just like made my life for like months.
That was so random.
It was so funny, guys. Everyone listening to this, if you just pause right now, go on YouTube, look up Lonely Island, Michael Bolton. Just do it. You're gonna be thankful that you did. I promise. give you 30 seconds. Actually, I guess it's like a 3-minute song, so I'll give you 3 minutes, then come back. Anyway, yeah, so the Michael Bolton Christmas special should not have aired the same year as the Bill Murray.
That
Christmas
was season. Bad part on their that thing. Was like you're just confusing people when you do that shit.
There's so not enough room in the Netflix Christmas specials like arena for both of you. Because I feel like the Michael Bolton Christmas special could have been a weird one-off that people enjoyed, but you're not going to watch that when you could be watching the Bill Murray Christmas special that had Miley Cyrus and it had George Clooney being really weird. he's like creeping around on the set, like peeking out from behind trees. I was like, what is happening? And then there was Maya Rudolph was in it. There were a ton of like amazing people in that Christmas
SNL people, and it was just like okay.
It was very weird but very enjoyable, especially if you're like drinking a little bit while you're watching it, which I was. Not gonna lie.
Hey, whatever you gotta get to get through it. But I think they learned their lessons. Like, we gotta do just one special a year, you know, because people already are trying to catch up with our material.
Yeah,
and we've already pissed off enough people by pre-canceling shit or doing movies that are just so, you know, we're not making our money back because they're stopping them halfway through. So residuals are based on how much you've seen of the show. So it's not going to work.
All right. So I'm trying to think here. I have a list in front of me of like my
Child's
favorite
play.
Christmas specials. What?
Go for it. It happens on Christmas.
Oh my God. You're blowing my mind here. I had not thought of that one. Gremlins.
Hey, they're both set at Christmas. Both of them.
Yeah.
But it is funny because how part one starts off showing footage of It's a Wonderful Life. But let's go with part two, because basically it's set inside Ted Turner / Trump Tower. And everybody in total, you know, Joe Dante and Paul Verhoeven totally should have made a movie together, because they are just, you know, you see, he's got the same kind of executives that like you see in something like Total Recall or RoboCop. And they're just, again, going to town. Just the building's getting out of whack. It's some fun. Making fun of old 50s sci-fi B stuff with having Bob Picardo and Christopher Lee in there. It's a hell of a time.
Yeah. Wow, I forgot about that bit.
and just even the fact that the whole, they do a good job of even giving him a purpose for being there, as opposed to just, you know, the billionth retread of every other comedy, action, horror franchise that was there. Mm-hmm. But they kind of do what they were doing in Hot Shots and Airplane. They do a bunch of other, you know, making fun of blockbuster movies in there, having Gizmo dress up as Rambo and kill all the creatures. But then it's even funnier having, you know, Zach Galligan's character, you know, his girlfriend, you know, Phoebe Cates is now working there, so there's reason for him to go there and meet up with Gizmo again. But then it's even funnier how his uncle is also there on one floor, basically being a horror host, you know, and looking like one of the monsters. Right. So it's fun there how that all connects.
Oh my god, yeah, it's been ages. I don't have a lot of recall of that movie, so I'm on IMDb right now, like, looking through photos. Like, oh, right, yeah.
Wasn't as funny as I remember it being, but it's still a lot of fun for genre fans, especially having the opening with Looney Tunes. And it was so weird, though, because I recall it opening with Hulk Hogan in the theater, get back to the movie, but my version on Amazon had it in the middle of the movie. And I've heard other people say they had a VHS version of it, and it opened up with someone in the theater watching John Wayne instead of a friend. So it's like there are a few rare version cuts of it. I don't know.
That's awesome.
I don't know what version it used to play on Sci-Fi Channel versus the movie channel. So it's a predicament.
That's really funny. I didn't know that.
Huh. Yeah. It's just weird. And everyone always acts like, you know, there's only certain versions of certain movies if they have, you know, certain objectionable content or something, and they put all the deleted scenes back in. But there's plenty of them is like, yeah, no, there's a version of the movie that only plays on regular TV or cable that, you know, you can't get on, you know, the Shout Factory Blu-ray on certain movies. And it's just always funny hearing that. And some of them are YouTubeable moments, and there's others where, like, I might as well just, you know, go and buy an old copy of this movie.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, it makes you want to actually, like, go find a DVD or a VHS just to see.
Oh, totally. Yeah, especially with my Blu-ray collection, you'll be joking. You're like, why did you get that movie out of all the movies? I'm like, because that's the better version of the movie that compared to the hackneyed American cut that most people know of that movie, you know. And so it's always fun doing. But like you say, you got to set time away for it, because otherwise it will eat up your bill that month and you'll be like, oh my God.
Yeah, true.
Why do I have five versions of a questionable quality movie lying around here? But yeah, I know there's a bunch of other specials. Did you ever watch The Closer or its spinoff, Major Crimes?
No, huh?
There's always, every season, a funny, like, free episodes set during, or like one of them will be about Christmas, and then the following episodes will be set during Christmas, and it's always hysterical because it'll basically just, they'll work it into the plot some way. Like, I guess I'm not getting on that plane, so once I'm done interrogating the suspect, we're all gonna have dinner together in the, you know, grab a seat.
Aww.
And it's always hysterical how they work that in there. And like, one of them is a guy who, like, they'll work it into the case. Like, Fred Willard was in one episode playing a guy dressed as Santa Claus, and it was stealing stuff.
Fred Willard.
Yeah, it was really hysterical. And the show is actually a very understated comedy. Most people just do the whole, I think I saw her. Is that the one where Kevin Bacon's wife just shouts people's face off? I'm like, yes, but there's a little more to it than that.
I had no idea that there was, like, comedy in that. I guess I just assumed it was, like,
me neither. IMDb doesn't list it as a comedy. I'm like, yeah, but there's so much back and forth. I mean, you gotta call it a comedy, because it's totally 48 hours half the time when it's not in Law and Order or CSI mode. So,
oh, that's kind of good to hear.
Oh, totally. And each episode stands out in its own way, to where it's like, you can watch the whole thing now on HBO Max, and it's worth it because it's part of, you know, Warner Brothers TNT. But it's fun because, yeah, it's like you could pick any episode. Everyone's going to have a favorite, and you're going to be like, yeah, that was pretty funny.
So, okay, if we're doing, like, shows that have Christmas episodes or specials, I'm going to go with the Always Sunny Christmas.
Perfect.
I freaking love It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Doesn't someone get hit with like a candy cane or some shit? Or
oh, I don't even remember all the jokes.
I might be thinking of a different sitcom, but yeah, it's like
I actually just looked it up a little while ago to make sure that like I was remembering it right. And there's just like a shot of someone whose face is like covered in blood. I mean, I don't even know. It's Charlie. Oh, God. I don't know if it's Charlie. Blood. I don't remember this moment, so it's hard to say
right
what it is.
God, yeah. And
I don't remember the main storyline, but like one of the like side quests is that Mac remembers that his mom had a succession of Santas over to give him presents, but they would always disappear with her upstairs for like 30 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
Like, he suddenly realizes that they weren't really Santas.
Right. It's just really messed up. It's like what part of your life you should have revisited. There's a reason that show's been on for 13 plus seasons. It's like, right. Yeah, they know how to do it.
They go there and then they go farther, way, way farther than they needed to go.
Always have the best kind of reactions. You know, half of it, it's like the league where half of it's, you know, a template, stuff is written, and the other half is just them improvising, and it's just brilliant.
It really is. I was kind of sad, like, I guess it was a few years into It's Always Sunny, like maybe third season, I feel like the actors started getting other gigs, you know, and being cast in movies and stuff. And I kept for a while seeing Charlie Day being cast in positions where basically he just would scream at people a lot. Because that's what his character does on It's Always Sunny. That's
all he's known for. And
but I'm like, there is so much more to that character. It's he's so good. He's so talented. And I really want to see him get more recognition than that.
You know? You're in the same position where I've had people who've seen Kumail Nanjiani and, what's his name? Ken Jeong from The Hangover, you know, in other movies. And they're like, oh, I can't stand that guy. I'm like, well. You know, Ken Jeong is brilliant on Community.
Right.
Dr. Ken and Kumail was funny and everything. So it's like you're seeing them in these stupid movies and you're finding them annoying. It's like, well, they work on the small screen. It's the same thing. It's like I've seen people say, I don't like Charlie Day. I'm like, have you ever seen Always Sunny? No. Well.
Oh, well.
Part of his fandom. you only see, I think probably his best, as close as he got to being kind of a layered comedic relief was definitely in Horrible Bosses. And the rest of the time, you say, he's just been, can you just scream or do something fucked up and then just react to it?
That's all he wants
you to do. And it's like, the way investors get people attached to movies is just ridiculous these days.
It really is. And it just shows. Charlie, if you're out there, if you ever listen to this, I want you to know I see you. I respect you. And I want better for you.
We want you to fire your agent. And
for hell, real.
Maybe just do an Always Sunny movie if they're not going to give you an actual movie.
Hell yeah. I'd be into it. I'd watch it.
Do it.
To be fair, though, I have fallen off in keeping up with It's Always Sunny these past few years. I think I really kind of stopped around the Christmas special because I just couldn't keep up with it. But
and like South Park is just like there's so much of it to where it's like when they were making fun of the recent election, I just got depressed and I was just like, I just don't even find, I'm forcing myself to laugh now. I need to take some time off. And this is the same thing with Archer.
Archer
has been going on forever. And then each time I've tried to see more of it, it's always been on like the worst possible day. And so that's where I just kind of knock some sense into myself. I'm like, I'm only going to, at this point on, stick with shows that I actually want to see the rest of it. And the stuff that I don't care how it begins or ends, I'm just going to, if it's on, it's on. But I'm not going to be dialed in at all with them.
Absolutely agreed. I feel the same way about South Park.
It can South end Park. Tomorrow and I will never miss it because I will always just be quoting just the best episodes and forgetting about the dumb episodes.
There are a lot of dumb episodes, and the more episodes there are, the more dumb ones pile up. I'm the same way. If it's on, I'll probably watch it, but I can't really handle the barrage of like one-upmanship of trying to be more crass than last time or trying to like make more of a point about politics than you did last time. It's like it makes me tired,
right? Especially when you know where the guys are in general. Is like, I know you guys try to be more open-minded, but you work best when you're just talking shit and you just don't shit.
It is true.
Get into this whole, oh, but no one's ever talked about that before, I'm like, Yes, they have.
Yeah.
This was already done at the Daily Show and a bunch of others.
True, true. So as far as like straight up Christmas specials, though, I'm going to tell you my absolute number one tip top favorite Christmas special. Okay. Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas special.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate, as far as I'm concerned, for like number one amount of drugs consumed on the set of any piece of entertainment.
I definitely saw most of that. I can't remember what it was on, but it was cray cray.
It was like there must have just been like mountains of cocaine backstage.
Yeah,
but it worked. It freaking worked. And I mean, Grace Jones was on that. I have a whole list in front of me a minute ago. Let's see, we had Grace Jones, we had Charo, we had Frankie Avalon, we had Whoopi Goldberg, Magic Johnson, Grace Jones, Katie Lang, Little Richard, Joan Rivers.
Joe Mantegna or whatever was on there. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. And Dinah Shore, Zsa Zsa Gabor, and Oprah Winfrey. And Cher.
Right.
Cher. Can't forget Cher. I mean, and they all did really cool little acts. Well, not everybody, but like Grace Jones did.
Around the same time that, he was touring. He did like an HBO special, then he did a Netflix special. I think that's what that was on. And then, he did an SNL episode. It's the year of remembering.
Aww.
Everyone's favorite, 80s, 90s Saturday morning guy.
Well, interestingly enough, so I told you that we were a PBS, household.
Yeah.
We did not watch Pee-wee's Playhouse in my house growing up. I managed to like see it a few times, and then one time my mom walked in the middle of it and she was like appalled. She was like, "What is this? It's like so shrill and loud, and I don't know exactly what her problem with it was. Maybe she recognized that there were mountains of cocaine backstage."
She just was like, "If I don't know what it is, I'd rather."
Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, it certainly wasn't like highly educational content, it wasn't like that. Wasn't learning my ABCs on Pee-wee's Playhouse, but
no.
But so we were banned from watching it, but I still remembered it like years later very fondly. And so I started watching a little bit of it, a few years back to like see if I really remembered it right. And I'm like, holy shit, yeah, this is just as crazy as I remember it being when I was like 4. And it's still that good, though. It holds up.
Totally. Oh, yeah.
I love that, like, the character of Pee-wee is, like, I mean, this, like, weird man-child wearing makeup. That might have been what freaked my mom out. I don't know. And he's a jerk. Like, he's a complete jerk. That's, like, his whole character. He's completely self-centered. He doesn't want to do anything to help anybody else out.
Yes.
And yet, like, everyone comes to him because he's fun and, like, he has all these great friends always stopping by the Playhouse. And that's basically what the Christmas episode was about. Like, everybody just stopping by to say happy holidays to Pee-wee because they love Pee-wee so much for some reason. And he's a total jerk to all of them.
Totally. I definitely saw it, I think. Yeah. You're thinking of, like, the season 3 episode? Yeah. I think I definitely saw that one. Somewhere along the way, I definitely saw it. I can't remember what they re-aired it on. They definitely replayed like a lot of the movies on Disney Channel, but I think they aired parts of it also on Nickelodeon. And we used to rent a few tapes from the store, but at the end of the day, I only had like one tape published by MGM that featured two episodes from like in the middle of the run. I was like, okay.
Oh, interesting.
So that was always on repeat, even when we stopped going to all the Hollywood Video, Family Video stores.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I probably would have rewatched those a lot, too.
Oh, totally. I think that's just it. Every tape meant a lot because, you're always going to watch it at least 2 to 3 times a day or a week. And and like you say, is like, then you'd return it and sometimes you'd accidentally rent the same one you'd already seen and it didn't matter. You're just like, that was enough for you. Just watching TV in general was great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I was a kid, I re-rented Beetlejuice and Labyrinth.
Nice.
Like, every time we went to the video store, I just got the same thing.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, worked for me. I was happy.
Yeah.
I'm going with Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas or, whatever the name of that holiday special. I believe it's on Netflix, or if it's not, it's definitely on YouTube. So highly recommend anyone who hasn't seen it. Go ahead and watch
YouTube, man. Yep. Getting in there.
Yeah. And I just love Paul Reubens. I just think that guy's fantastic.
So. Oh, you totally got to listen to his Conan special from like a year ago.
O'Brien
Needs a Friend podcast. He had an interesting interview, and after hearing it, I was like, I definitely understand the man better.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I'll definitely listen to that.
Conan is very underrated in terms of interviews because, again, once you take away all the stupid stuff that we love him for, and then he is like, you know what? I learned something interesting about another comedy mastermind, whether it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had Bob Odenkirk was there, and they had a long history going back and forth. But, I mean, he, you know, for the longest time, every year he would invite Carl Reiner on there. He would invite, a lot of the Always Sunny guys and just compliment him. He's like, how do you do it? You're weirder than me. You're taking my job and stuff like that. It was great.
Aw, that's very cute.
Do you vaguely, I don't remember what year this was. I'm sure I have it rated on YouTube. There was this one Muppet special. And it was set at Christmas time, and I would watch all those because, you know, I had everything videotaped. And
there were a bunch of Muppet.
They Christmas replayed specials. Everything for the last 10 years on, you know, Nickelodeon and Disney Channel. And that one, it was definitely like late 80s, early 90s. I just remember it's like they all come together at like this one house in the middle of nowhere. And it's like, I can't remember if it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, but whatever. They played it at both holidays, so it didn't matter. But I mean, I think there were a few Sesame Street characters that appeared briefly because it makes sense. You know, it's just that's where Kermit began. But it was interesting because it was it wasn't even all that much singing or anything. It was just some wacky just kind of escapades here and there. I should look it up.
Oh, I'm Googling. I think it's A Muppet Family Christmas because it says in this 1 hour Christmas special, Fozzie Bear surprised his mother Emily on Christmas Eve by bringing the entire Muppet gang to her farm to celebrate the holidays.
Yeah, that is definitely all right.
Nice. I haven't seen
that's
this.
That's right. And Ernie and Bert showed up, and there you go.
Yeah, and Doc and his dog Sprocket apparently.
ABCs.
And Miss Piggy and Kermit.
There you go.
This sounds amazing. I love the Muppets.
Shot in Toronto. Wow. Okay.
I am definitely going to have to look this up. The one I remember from my childhood is the Muppets and John Denver Christmas special. And I can't find it anywhere. I haven't been able to.
But I kind of did because I had the album.
Well, we had the album too. That was like my main Christmas album growing up.
That was the deal. If you didn't have the same thing with the comedians, is like if you didn't have access to see the HBO comedy special, you listened to the stand up on audio form, and that's how they made their money. Is like, yeah, if you didn't, you don't have the visual, but you still got the humor, and that's enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the John Denver and the Muppets Christmas album has the best version of the 12 Days of Christmas ever.
I played the shit out of that, and I always hear that at a mall or something. It'll come on and I will guffaw. I think I even heard it on the one college radio station I listen to now, 88.5.
Awesome.
It was like the wee hours. It was like, well, no, it was just something else with John Denver and Muppets, but close enough. Either way, it was just funny just seeing is like, hey, okay, someone is a total, you know, nostalgia buff. That's great.
Yeah.
Wikipedia page claims that it has never been released in its entirety on any home media because the songs, you know, they didn't have the licensing. Damn.
Oh.
And that sucks. Now, sense. I don't know where that tape would be. I'm sure it's at a rotting in a half-price book somewhere. So I would have to dig through the garage and randomly burn everything on a tape too.
Oh my god, I actually do. I have a cassette tape of it too that like somebody in my family must have found it at like a bargain bin somewhere and sent it to me a few years ago, and I'm like, I don't have a cassette player, but I'm gonna hold on to this in case I ever come across one.
You are fortunate. I'm sure someone somewhere has uploaded a Daily Motion or, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely available. I think I found it, like, on Spotify or something last year. But I love having that little tape because it's, like, it's such a huge part of my childhood holiday experience. Oh, that's good stuff.
The problem is I could try this if I had some more time on my hands, but I don't have time, and it would probably be very disappointing because there's always going to be one tape that's displaced I won't be able to find in that damn garage that's a cluster. And even if I do, chances are it might have been recorded over, you know. Yeah. What I mean? So I would hate to just go through hours of that and then just drive myself crazy. It's like, oh,
right.
Or find, well, something else that's embarrassing that I don't want anyone to know that I've seen.
Someday in the future, you'll come across it, and it'll be...
I'll be working by myself and say, hey, guys, I'll remaster all the tapes for you. Burn them to disk.
Nice. Okay, so here's another Christmas favorite of mine. Edward Scissorhands.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
It's a Christmas movie.
Something Tim Burton related is going to get on here, and it's not always The Nightmare Before.
The Nightmare Before Christmas is like, I don't even have to say it. That is such a classic. It is so perfect. I just, oh my God.
Boinka.
Oh, love that movie. Love that movie. And years ago, a friend of mine got like a really big TV, and she got some sort of some plug-in, or I don't know how it worked, where like you could use 3D glasses and the TV could work with like a 3D function and you'd be watching a 3D movie. And we partook of some recreational.
Perfect.
I swear I didn't use any before this recording, I promise.
No, that's fine, but that's great. Whatever makes the word special.
Well, we got a little stoned and we watched Nightmare Before Christmas in 3D, and it was scary, man. That movie is really scary. It really terrified me, but in a good way. But the other Tim Burton movie that is a Christmas movie that nobody really mentions is Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, man. Nice.
I adore that movie, and I think it gets less credit than it deserves for just being an excellent film, but also for being a Christmas film. So now I often watch it around the holidays.
There you go.
Yeah. I have spoken.
I have spoken. The council is nice. Oh, man. God, how do I do better than that? How about Farce of the Penguins?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Okay, so long story short, it's March of the Penguins parody that came out a year later, and it's narrated by Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, no, really?
And it has a bunch of other comedians making voiceovers, and I bought it about a few years ago at a thrift store back before the world went to shit, and one day when I had time to kill, I just came back to the office and I just played it in my car. I have a portable player and I just was guffawing at all the special features, which are even funnier.
That sounds like a solidly good time.
It's a really funny movie for the right people. And I think a lot of people even guffaw because, I mean, I think at one point he says, what, did you expect Morgan Freeman to narrate this fucking shit? Or some shit like that. And the other voiceovers are great, how it's just endless stock footage. It was written, directed, and produced, and co-stars Bob Saget. So that gives you all you need to know.
Okay. All right.
There's plenty of other comedians in there. There's going to be some who don't apply for everyone. I think Christina Applegate was one of the voiceovers, too. Mm-hmm. Monique is one of them. And then
nice.
I think Norm Macdonald had a cameo, if I'm not mistaken. But there's plenty.
Aww.
There's plenty of has-been and famous comedians that, and just comedic actors in general. Hold up, let me just look up the cast list and save myself a level of memory. I
love Norm Macdonald. I have a very soft spot in my heart for him.
I do too. I don't care what he says. He's better than some of the other has-been SNL comedians.
I really haven't kept up with anything he's done. I hope that he hasn't done anything like horribly terrible and offensive that I just didn't hear about and then endorsed
him. He's good. It's just... everyone likes to make fun of him of Dirty Work, and I'm like, no, he's good. Okay, so that's right. A lot of the Full House people show up. Whoopi Goldberg, Damon Wayans plays as a cameo as the "Hey, that's my ass" penguin. Drew DiMaggio, yeah, okay. Christina Applegate, Louis Black. Nice. Oh my God, everybody. Even people I don't even consider funny. Gilbert Gottfried. Okay, so there you go. John Lovitz. Okay, yes. Norm Macdonald. Wow. All right, Tracy Morgan. Yeah, I definitely remember him. Jeffrey Ross as the funny-looking bastard. Abe Vigoda. Jesus. So, yeah, there was a Barney Miller reference in there. But, yeah, the making of was so funny. Allison Hannigan. There you go. Carlos Mencia before his world went to hell. Okay, yeah.
Wow.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, that must have been a fun time getting all those people together, just being like, all right, Penguins.
Documentary footage, yeah.
So, Penguins. Let's do this.
Indeed, let's do this. Now you sound like Leroy Jenkins there. Leroy Jenkins. Let's do this.
Okay, let's see. Christmas comedies. Favorite Christmas comedy. Well, I mean, I'm going with A Christmas Story. I mean,
there you go.
It's just, there's just nothing better. And I know that it has been like overplayed. That, like, you can't escape it at the holidays anymore. But, like, I haven't seen it every year like some people have, so I haven't gotten sick of it. And I think it's just such a classic. And it's freaking hilarious. And, like, understated at the same time. It's just, mwah. I'm doing that little chef's kiss thing. Mwah.
Oh, yeah.
Can't go wrong. And follow that up, though, with National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Perfect.
So I'll tell you a secret. My last name is Griswold.
So and when this has a bigger place in your heart.
When I was a kid, I mean, that movie came out when I was still in elementary school, I guess. And I don't remember exactly when, but I was pretty little. And so, like, my entire childhood, I got Chevy Chase jokes about my last name, and I hated him so much. It was just like everywhere we went, somebody had to make some stupid comment about Chevy Chase like we had not heard that before. So I didn't watch that movie for like a good 20-year period between when I was a child and when I was a full-grown adult. And I finally was like, all right, let's do this. Let's see what all the fuss is about, because the jokes had pretty much gone away by then. And so I watched the Griswold Christmas Vacation movie, and I was like, holy shit, this is really funny. This is a really funny, good time. So,
oh, man, John Hughes.
so good. So, I mean, I'm still not a huge Chevy Chase fan, but no. I do really like that movie.
And there's great Christmas episodes of Community, but yeah, fuck that guy. He should never have been a part of that.
Oh, yeah, the Community Christmas episodes. I forgot all about those.
They actually animated just like that. And even when the humor, it's also very much like, again, kind of like Psych, where it's like, even if you don't get half the jokes, it's like you appreciate the effort or you go, hey, that's still, I admire the effort, even if that was, you know, because like there's going to be a bunch that they can't possibly all hit all at the same time. You're going to have to rewatch it a few times to get all the jokes. And still might not find half of them funny, but you still are like, hey, it's still funny coming from that character who I like. Or, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh God, Chevy Chase.
Nice. Oh, Chevy Chase. You freaking disaster. but I did appreciate that in Community, whether or not we're talking about any of the Christmas episodes, that most of the humor about Chevy Chase was making fun of Chevy Chase.
Right.
That was fun for me. I enjoyed
it. Yeah. It was around time before he became, you know, a lion who, you know, had to be reeled in, and you're like, okay, no, he's just got to be put back in the zoo.
For real, yeah.
Can't talk to him anymore. And I did like the other characters they mentioned in the Troy-less seasons, and everyone likes to go, oh, but it wasn't the same without Troy. I'm like, sure it was. Season 4 sucks.
Aww.
It's like, they had them all there, and they were all, again, they couldn't do the best because the writers didn't have their main showrunner, and Chase was off his leash, and the network was calling the shots, and no one wanted to be there because they were getting sick of Chase.
Interesting. I didn't know about all this intrigue. Because you're right, it really does lag there in the middle quite a bit.
Oh, man.
Well, that explains it. I mean, I feel like everything that I've heard about trying to work with Chevy Chase is that, like, he just, like, drains everybody's energy.
Right.
Like, everybody's just constantly annoyed.
He wants to make people laugh, and at the same time, he's kind of like his Caddyshack co-star, you know, Rodney Dangerfield. If no one's laughing, is like, that drains him, because he needs that to keep going. And then it's just like, well, here's the thing. We're all having a terrible time having right. the same issues. So,
exactly.
If anything we can do to get you to leave, that's fine.
Yes, you're done for the day. Just go.
He worked. It was a reason he worked well on SNL, is that he... It was in small doses. You know, he wasn't in every sketch. So it's like...
Yeah, true.
It's like he didn't have to run the show either. So it's like, I think that's just it. I think a lot of comedians have to learn whether they can carry a movie versus whether they're just good at being a part of an ensemble, doing a cameo in a movie or show.
Yeah. And, sometimes it all comes down to the agents, too, like we were saying with Charlie Day, you know?
And Adam Sandler said it that Eddie Murphy One Night Only special, that he and Eddie had the same bigoted, you know, anti-Semitic, racist agent. So.
Wow.
So, well, suffered. This brings me to Chevy Chase's proclaimed friend who roasted him at his roast. That is Richard Belzer.
Oh.
And let's talk Homicide. There's a bunch of hysterical Christmas set episodes on that show.
Oh, okay.
Including one where his detective Munch has to babysit a kid because they can't find the parents who may be dead of a homicide.
Aw, but learns like the true meaning of Christmas.
Right, after he was supposed to be in town. Yeah.
Aw. That is unexpectedly heartwarming.
It's a lot of fun. He's teaching the kid how to golf and everything at like a putt place. And he's getting pissed off because he didn't know he'd be spending the whole night, you know, watching him. And his relatives are pissed. And the show is all drama, fore and front, but there's plenty of thrilling stuff. And, I mean, his character is even more cynical than when he's with Ice-T's Finn on SVU years later. But it's even funnier. You've seen him play off Andre Braugher's, you know, Detective Pimbleton and all the other guys and how they all got a very off-color storylines. And yeah, there's plenty of funny Christmas themed episodes of that show.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, very under talked about. It doesn't matter that they don't remember it anymore.
Well, it makes me think of a like under celebrated Christmas favorite of mine is Bad Santa. You know, this guy who's just like, ugh, like the worst. Right. But he kind of learns how to be a little bit better because of Christmas a little bit. Like, I really enjoyed that one. And I feel a little weird about how much I enjoyed that movie. Like, because it is just so objectionable in so many ways.
Right.
But I rewatched it again last year, I think, and it still holds up. I still think it's a really solid movie. So, you know, anyone who needs their Billy Bob Thornton fix around the holiday season, strongly recommend.
For sure.
As if a Billy Bob Thornton fix is a thing. I don't think that's a thing that people need, but...
I don't know.
I can't speak for everyone. Who knows?
I hear Goliath is a good show, so I guess...
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm going to go with the Trailer Park Boys Christmas special.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
So you can just see the whole damn thing on Netflix, say for the last spinoff they did, and... You'll pretty much know from that point on whether or not you're a fan. It's does the mockumentary style. It was before Arrested Development in The Office, and it's.
I've seen the first, maybe like the first half season of Trailer Park Boys, and really enjoyed it.
It wasn't it like on UPN or Comedy Central. They would play it on late at night and censor some of the language.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think somebody put it on for me at their house once, and then I found it online somewhere, but I didn't get the whole way through it. But I really did.
Easy to come by, but yeah, Netflix pretty much kept it going for like 3 more years, and then, but yeah, the special is from 2004, so they were already like before their 7th season or some shit like that, and they've been going on since 2001, and they were again just the, and Netflix even has the short film on there, and watching it is interesting because you can totally see how all these unknown actors who were friends and who were shooting this all pretty much just trusted one another. They bought their own set so that they could have this whole place to, you know, again, trash. And the Christmas special is just really funny because it pretty much, it has a lot of the same kind of recurring gags, you know, the trailer park, you know, ex-cop turned, you know, supervisors being a dick to everybody as usual. It's showing kind of how they got to be, to loathe each other and, you know, Ricky's out of jail for the holidays, visiting family, and of course, you know, they're still in Christmas trees and other shit.
Nice.
Because X-Con's an X-Con. They are.
Yeah, I should check that out. I'm not like I said, I'm not a huge like follower and fan of the series, but I really appreciate the humor.
Oh, so. Man, I have seen the whole thing and I don't regret a minute of it, but I am so disappointed that there was never a Breaking Bad crossover.
Aw.
They should have done something because there's just something about just their cluelessness that just appeals to me. I mean, I've seen all the movies and those got nutty. The first three, the rest you don't have to see, but the first three were funny because like movie one was just, you know, seeing them just making fun of 80s movies and just seeing them try and truly and try and get married. Movie two was just kind of a special that was seeing them make a club and just bring all the other recurring villains. And movie three was making fun of all them trying to do the heist of their life while making fun of every other heist movie like Heat or Dog Day Afternoon. It worked in Casino. Like, no. But your Ocean's 11 compared to Casino.
Ouch.
And again, just all the other recurring gags with Bubbles, you know, being smart and yet stupid, having to hang out with these other guys, Ricky not knowing how to pronounce anything. Just stupid and having their cats is just it's just something about it. Oh god,
yeah, that sounds like a good time. Yeah, I'll look that one up this year maybe. Yeah,
what's funny is my brother suggested I start watching it and then he's like, I can only do so much of it, and then he asked me the next day, how much of it did you watch? I'm like, I think I went till about 4 a.m watching this shit. It's funny as fuck.
That makes me think that I'm certain there was a Letterkenny episode that was Christmas themed.
Oh,
and I can't remember what it is.
Same kind of thing, just a bunch of Canadian guys who had their own improvised formula. It's very inspired by all the other English and American greats and just knowing what they wanted to do is just so naturally. But yeah, there has to be. If not, I mean,
no, there is. There definitely is.
There's got to at least be one where they hunt a turkey or just make fun of holiday trends.
It was the Three Wise Men. That's right.
There you go. Okay.
The Three Wise Men, where it's the three types of liquor. Butter Ripple Schnapps, Blue Curacao, and Creme de Menthe. So gross. But Wayne wants everything to stay classy until midnight for the main event, which is the Three Wise Men, a shot of Irish whiskey, a shot of American whiskey, and a shot of Canadian rye whiskey. The Three Wise Men. That's it. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Anyone out there who has not watched Letterkenny, get on
Please
it.
Do.
Get on it right away. You will not regret it. That series just, again, chef's kiss. Mwah. Perfect.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got a few more. The Shining.
Oh, hey. Well, that's, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that counts. That's a whole, it's a whole winter movie.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, every fucking Christmas, you're getting killed by your crazy husband. Better run, kid. Better run.
He gets Here's
frozen like
Johnny.
A big blue at the end. You're like,
Yeah, okay, I guess I'll allow it.
Now you're going to show from community mode. I'll allow it.
I mean, if it means that I get to watch The Shining at Christmas time, then I'm in.
Well, let's do a double feature with Dr. Sleep.
Oh yeah, that'd be fun. Huh. Good idea, I like it. Yeah, I think I'm out of good ones, honestly. I'm just not I'm
LA
not...
Confidential briefly is set at Christmas in the same room. Crooked cops showing it and just beating all the prisoners senseless.
I mean, if there's a Christmas scene in a movie, does it count as a Christmas movie?
I guess not. Jingle All the Way. That's become TBS's now brand where they play that nonstop in addition
really?
To a Christmas part. And what? They got some written complaints where people were like, why isn't it on at this hour? It's like, Jesus.
Well, I mean, of course there's Home Alone, which is interesting to me because, like, you know, when I was young and Home Alone came out, it was such a huge phenomenon that I think I assumed that it would just disappear after a while, you know, like one hit wonder style. But it didn't.
Right.
It's still going strong. People are still like hugely into Home Alone around the holidays.
Yeah, it's basically it's making fun of the Die Hard Desperate Hours formula, just having all the
Yeah.
physical gags, and there's just something about John Hughes that just it plays well in all his other stuff. If you're not watching all his high school movies, let alone the ones that don't get talked about as much, like My Own Kind of Wonderful and all the other ones that aren't, you know, Ferris Bueller, Since 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink, is like, yeah, he's got plenty of other stuff to choose from. I think I rented The Great Outdoors at least 3 different times.
Oh,
That's
I haven't seen that one.
all good, but it's very much like the Lampoon ones where everyone's on vacation and everything is going to shit. Bull Buck was another one I definitely saw once. It's like, yeah, I mean, he had the whole formula down. Get a mix of different actors who can play teens and stupid parents and principals, and yeah, I mean, Breakfast Club. I mean, there,
Yeah.
I definitely should do just a special on John Hughes, but yeah.
For real. I mean, there's so much there to cover.
And I think, I don't know, I think just the first two alone, there's just something about them that I haven't watched them in years, but I think it's just for whatever reason, just kids just open up to it. It's just easygoing laughs. People forget that there's like 3 other awful unrelated sequels.
As there must be.
As there must be.
Yeah. The rules of Hollywood dictate that there must be terrible sequels.
There will be blood. There will be
Sure, yeah, that too. Why not?
smoke. Perfect. Put it on there. Yeah, I think I'm good.
I mean, the only other one that I have on my list that we didn't
Oh,
mention
wait.
is Elf, and just because it's fun and it's a way better movie than I ever expected it to be.
Oh, true. Oh, I did forget about Mixed Nuts. The Contrarians podcast talked about it as well, and it's like it's a actual dark comedy about a suicide hotline that brings a bunch of weirdos together on Christmas. That's not an
What?
easy formula to do.
Wow. Oh, that's right. That was Steve Martin, wasn't it?
Steve Martin. There was a few other
Yeah.
people in there. Let me read off the cast here. Yeah, that's right. Madeline Kahn,
Oh,
Robert Klein, Juliette Lewis, Rob Reiner, Adam Sandler, Liev Schreiber, first movie ever did, Rita Wilson, Parker Posey,
whoa.
Jon Stewart,
Oh, Jon Stewart. Oh, my God.
Gary Shandling. I think he plays like a hitman or some shit. There's some dark stuff in here. Victor Garber as an irritated neighbor. As Neil Paglia, but yeah, I do remember Madeline Kahn. Man.
Yeah, I had
Joel
forgotten about that movie.
Fisher, Alan
I have a
Bass.
sneaking suspicion that I actually watched that and completely forgot about it. Which makes me sad. I love a good Steve Martin movie, but yeah, that one just fell right into a pit in the back of my mind.
It was not his most liked movie at that time, but it's come around. There's a lot of people who watch it now and say, hey, that's pretty wacky.
Maybe I'll give that one a try this year.
Knock yourself out. You'll find something. I like it.
We'll see.
Along with my blue heaven.
If I don't like it, I'm gonna call you. Give you a piece of my
To
mind.
kill you, Cam. What the fuck were you thinking? I recall it going by fast. That was kind of a plus. It was like, yeah, you need something like that. It's got to be Speedy Gonzales. Otherwise, it just stays as welcome. Oh.
Well, yeah, I think I'm tapping out. I think that's all the holiday
Perfect.
special talk I've got in me. Huh.
Oh man. Thank you ever so much for being on here. Anything you care to promote again?
Oh, well, let's see. We're recording this in advance, so I don't know what I'm going to be doing around Christmas time, but you can always find me. It's lindseyg.com, spelled
G.
LYNSEYG.com. And whatever I'm doing, you'll be able to find it there, or at my publishing company, Oneshi Press. We will probably be publishing something cool around that time. So yeah, just check out OneshiPress.com and find out what we're up to.
Initial press. We kept it from the main press. Yes. Check out her projects, guys. Please do.
Yeah, thanks.
Anytime, anytime. Thank you ever so much for being there.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much. All right. Godspeed to you.
That was a good time. Now I feel like watching a bunch of Christmas stuff.
Perfect.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Whatever works. I definitely got a different program this season.
Yeah. Well, I am going to have to jump off real quick. I actually got a phone call while we were recording, and I think it's about a surgery that my mother had today. So I am going to go and call my dad back and see what's going on.
Be safe out there.
Yeah, thanks. And we're talking again sometime soon. I don't remember, but
yeah, I've got so many episodes planned.
Yeah. I'll hit you up when I remember what it is.
You got it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Bye.
Peace out.
We'll return after these messages.
Hey, feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast Cure All, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of...
They must be destroyed on sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy, African consumption, black fever, bone shave, chin cough, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pott's disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
Hey, I heard you like movies.
I heard you like to hustle.
I heard you like podcasts.
Well, guess what?
There's a podcast for you out there called The Home Video Hustle.
Damn right.
Every Friday, we talk about whatever movie PJ picks out the bag.
What does that mean?
Every Wednesday on our YouTube page, I put a bunch of movies in a bag, and PJ picks one out at random. Mm-hmm. And then we just watch it. We talk about it for maybe like an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. Whatever we feel like doing, wherever the conversation leads us.
But do we actually talk about the movie?
Most of the time.
Ah.
Tangents galore.
Yes.
So believe me, we may be a movie podcast, but it's not always about movies. We might talk about video games.
Mm-hmm.
Music. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the big one, music. Sometimes we might get a little bit of politicalness in there.
Yes.
Sometimes we may just, we know what we like to do. We like to tell stories, PJ.
Ah, yes.
I am the master storyteller
yes.
of the podcast realm. Undefeated. So if you like to hear about movies, video games, whatever foolishness comes to our mind, the most random stuff you can think of, check out the Home Video Hustle. You can find us on the Stitchers.
Yes.
The Google Play.
Yes.
Apple Podcasts.
What else?
Podbean.
What else?
Podcast Addict.
Goddamn.
All that. Ain't no reason you can't get your hustle on. We everywhere. Worldwide, baby.
Hustle, motherf***. Hustle.
Hey, we can't cuss in the promo, PJ.
Ah.
We gotta be family friendly. There may be podcasts out there that don't want his hair to say
Yeah.
All that good fun stuff.
Well, you.
don't run the listeners away, PJ.
Ah, I'm sorry.
But this is going kind of long.
Yes.
So we'll end this and say, hey, check out the Home Video Hustle every Friday on all the various podcast outlets. Peace.
Peace.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. And while Witch didn't make it to the top of the world, he did make the Gangs of Hollywood podcast. So join the gang and enjoy a movie review podcast about movie gangs, gangsters, mobsters, and the mayhem they cause. You can find GOH Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. At GOH Pod at www.gohpod.com. gohpod.com, as well as your favorite podcast listening app. And remember, say hello to your little friend for me.
If you take two old punk rockers who are past their prime, put them in front of a movie screen and give them a podcast, what do you get? Cinema Punks. Cinepunks. It's the mixtape of movies.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. Oh, I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that.
Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
It's unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist.
Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history
up.
Doll yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped from watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was.
How
be a
did
rough
you watch
one.
This shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
Hey everybody, I'm Corey.
And I'm Zach, and we're the hosts of Podcasting After Dark, a cast dedicated to late-night horror and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, often found on HBO and Cinemax.
You know, the movies your parents didn't want you watching as a kid. You can find us every other week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher.
This is what you want.
This is what you get.
It's time, let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh yeah.
Bana 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 bana.
Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-liner plot holes and gratuitous movies, it's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy
at EILFM.podbean.com.
Welcome to Who Was She Podcast. I am your host, Tara Jabari. After a decade working in documentaries, marketing, and all things digital media, I found that podcasting is a strong medium to share stories. After years of producing for others, I decided to start my own biographical podcast. Who Was She will focus on the life of a woman throughout Baha'i history. The first season is about Lydia Zemanoff. Lydia's story explores the subjects of the power of language and faith. Her father invented the universal language Esperanto, and she came from a Jewish family and became a Baha'i. She grew up during World War I and was killed during World War II in a concentration camp, despite heroic efforts to save her life. How can one person's life intersect with so many others, connect across borders, and inspire a biography, which inspired this podcast? Over the next few weeks, I will share her story with you and the lives that were most affected by her and those who affected her life as well. They include her father, Ludwig Semenov, her spiritual mother, American journalist Martha Root, and the Baha'i German soldier Fritz Mako, who worked for the resistance undercover while having to serve the Nazi party. I want to thank the author Wendy Heller and George Ronald Publishing for their blessing to let me use Heller's biography, Lydia, The Life of Lydia Zemanoff, Daughter of Esperanto, as a main and instrumental resource for this podcast. So please subscribe and learn about this amazing woman who traveled through three continents in an effort to bring unity through the power of language. You can also find more information on our Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest at Who Was She Podcast. Music was composed and performed by Sam Redd. I am your host, Tara Jabari. Join us next time as we begin our journey about Lydia Zemanoff.
Hi, everybody. It's Mac Jackson. I wanted to invite you to a new site called the Forever Adventure Network. This website has everything. Pictures, videos, blogs. There's original music by Harmony Constant. Two podcasts. One is the MacGyver Podcast, where we celebrate Richard Dean Anderson, his iconic roles, and how it's influenced our lives. There's episode discussions, interviews, and life conversations. The second podcast is the Never Gets Old Podcast, where we celebrate all the best things that we love in life, from TV, movies, music, and comics. The site is also the home for the MacGyver SG-1 audio series, an ongoing adventure series that continues the adventures of MacGyver and SG-1. There are also multiple stores to choose from for all of your pop culture and adventure needs. Come on by and check us out today. And thanks for joining the adventure.
Are you sick of the same old stale podcasts? Well, then join Vanessa and Darren as they dissect movies of all kinds. The two lifelong cinema lovers bring their favorites, curiosities, and first-time watches to the operating table and inject them with a healthy dose of snark. Then there's the waiting room, where they examine books and short stories. So just look for them on Apple Podcasts and where fine podcasts are available. They're part of the Legion Podcast Network. Follow them on Twitter at VD Clinic Pod. Join them on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/VD Clinic Pod. Or email them at vdclinicpod@gmail.com. They're ready to cure what ails you. And still, they just might be a little contagious.
Hi there. It's Heather from the Watching Netflix Without You podcast. Did you know that there are over 1,200 Netflix original feature films and documentaries? And that number is only growing. So I've made it my mission to watch as many as I possibly can. Then, with a delightful guest or guests, disclaimer, more often than not my brother Ryan, we spend an episode rating, reviewing, and discussing a film at length. The first half of every episode is spoiler-free for those who haven't seen it yet. And in the second half, after a very clear spoiler warning, we dive into it. And that's really about it. You can listen to Watching Netflix Without You on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more.
We now continue with our program.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.